He is the one who gave everything. That's what we've been singing, isn't it? He is the one who gave everything. He is the one that was hanging on a tree. He is the one that was bleeding for me. He is the one who is bleeding for you. We're looking at heroes of faith. I spent, I think, about 3 different days trying to get my head round this and what I was going to say. And as I was praying last night, I went to bed and thinking, I'm sure there's something else I'm supposed to be doing here. And he said this. Heroes of faith encourage us to take steps of faith. Is that what we've been hearing this morning? And faith can be written in another way, in lots of different ways. It can be written as risk. It can be written as obedience. But faith is taking steps. And I'll come back to this. And your step is different to the person next to you. And your step might be that step. And if you're Richard, because he's 10 foot tall, that's his step. Because I'm only a little guy, so I have little steps. It doesn't matter. God knows each of us. But the steps of faith we take are the things that are going to change us. Because God changes each one of us. We're looking at Samuel. And we're continuing this series of heroes of faith in the Bible. We've already looked at Abraham and Sarah. I don't know if you were here last week. Andy did a fantastic job on Sarah last week. It was brilliant. If you haven't heard it, listen to it. I don't know why my throat's going a bit dry. And we're continuing to read these stories, and I've got lots of scriptures this morning. And I hope that those scriptures and stories are just going to bathe you in God's story about Samuel. Because the thing is, they were ordinary people through faith and obedience did amazing things. Ordinary people through faith and obedience did amazing things. So if you're not ordinary, you can shove off now. Okay? That was subtle, wasn't it? No, that includes us all, doesn't it? Am I all more ordinary than you? Deep questions. Ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. That's what these stories are about. So, Hebrews 11 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance what we do not see. This is what the ancients are commended for. And then for the next 30 verses, odd, it talks about all of the heroes from the Old Testament. What difference they made. Then it gets to 32 and it says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice. That's the big thing that Samuel did. He changed justice in Israel and gained what was promised. The first main attribute about Samuel was that he learned to listen to God. Now, if you remember both of the stories we talked about with Abraham and Sarah, what were they commended for? Listening to God. And they responded in obedience. These are lessons for us, aren't they? Lessons for us. Here's some facts about Samuel. He was born 1105. That's the year before Christ. It's not 11:05 in the morning, just to make it clear. I'm not sure whether it's 11:05 or 10:10, you know, but you get the idea. Now, I've got a few extra names in here. And if you know what I'm like, trying to pronounce these names has been interesting. So I've been practicing all week, okay? So you just have to be impressed that they sound something like them, okay? Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Penina. That's what I'm going to call her anyway. Having two wives at that time was actually a normal practice. However, I don't think that made any life any easier for a man looking after two women, okay? People are still people, okay? I'm not going any further on that because it's dangerous ground, okay? And I'm hoping to leave in one piece, okay, later on. So okay. Historians suggest that Hannah was Elkanah's first wife. And they also suggest that they'd been married for 10 years. And because she was barren, she had no children, Elkanah decided that he needed to marry another lady because he needed heirs for his family. Big cultural thing at that time. Two things. You have children, and if you're really blessed, you have boys. And if you don't that, you find some other way. Remember the story of Abraham? What a mess that got him into. We won't talk about that. But you can understand why in this relationship Elkanah favored Hannah. His heart was toward her. Then we've got Hannah, effective in prayer. We're going to hear later on this morning about how she prayed for a son. And we'll hear about that story. Samuel learned to listen and trust God at a young age. It's good, isn't it, to learn things when we're young. Does that mean we can't learn when we get old? No, we can still learn because God's got a patience and a love for us that is beyond our imagination. Samuel was working in the temple when God first spoke to him. Obviously, hearing God's voice was very new for Samuel. And actually new for the nation. They hadn't had God speaking to them in that way for a long time. But he learned to listen and trust God. Samuel was trained as a priest and a judge. He worked under the direction of Eli, who trained him to be a priest and to be Israel's most effective judge. And they got the practice because Eli had trained and encouraged Samuel, but Eli himself had been a judge for 40 years within Israel. Samuel was also appointed that one of his big things was he had to anoint two kings to be kings of Israel. He was given the task of finding and anointing these two kings, Saul and David. Samuel was God's man in helping Israel to change from a system where they had judges, where God was king, to a situation where they had an earthly king. And so the first king was Saul. And Saul actually started off well. And he started off in the way God wanted him to work and live. But Saul got a bit arrogant, thought he was doing it all himself, and things went astray. And we'll come back to that. Samuel was used by God to change Israel, to change the way that they were from being ruled by judges to having a monarchy, which was totally different for that nation. Hannah, Samuel's mum. Let's go back to the background. Peninnah, the other wife of Elkanah, in the terms of that day, was a very fruitful mother. That was the culture they lived in. But you can understand the conflict between her and Hannah, who wasn't, who didn't have any babies, and you can understand that caused strife. Hannah became very desperate, even though she knew she was loved by her husband. But in her mind and in her heart, she was struggling because she didn't have any children. And in that time and in that culture, that was an embarrassment. Each year, the family traveled to Shiloh, to the temple, to worship and give sacrifice to God. After Elkanah, the husband, had given a sacrifice at the temple, he would give out portions of meat to his family, and each portion was given to a part of the family. But he would actually give a double portion to Hannah, because he wanted to bless her and encourage her, because she didn't have children. However, you can imagine, with two wives, that didn't go down too well. And it caused even more taunting. It caused even more problems. And each time they went to worship, she came away being distraught, in tears and in heart. So let's read the first section here from Samuel. Once they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made this vow, saying, Lord, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. That's a pretty desperate prayer, isn't it, when you think about it? Asking for a son, but then promising to give that son to work in the temple. That was the bargain she'd made. So Eli the priest, who thought she was drunk and couldn't understand what was going on, while she was praying, she was absolutely distraught, but she was praying. Verse 17 says, Eli answered, Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked for. She said, May your servant find favor in your eyes. Then she went away and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Hannah had pleaded with God. God hears Hannah and responds. Remember what I said. Heroes of faith encourage us to take steps of faith, just like Hannah. This is the story of that promise being outworked. So, in Samuel, verse 21, this is chapter 1, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, "Pardon me, my lord, as surely as you live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked for." So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he shall be given over to the Lord. And they worshipped the Lord there. Hannah in faith had to carry out her promise. I can't really, to be honest, imagine what that must have been like. To hand over your child to the priest, Eli, so Samuel could learn how to serve God in the temple. The reason why I've dwelt on this and the fact of Hannah, this wasn't a perfect family situation, but I wanted to draw out the faith steps that Hannah had made to get her to that place. Remember, heroes of faith encourage us to take steps of faith. So she prayed in her desperation and heard, and God heard her plea. In her prayer, she said to God, if she had a baby, she would dedicate a baby to God. Those are deep faith steps which she would have poured into Samuel as a small child. God blessed Hannah after this time, blessed her again. She had three sons and two daughters. Samuel hears God. You'll notice the picture here. We're supposed to have a picture of somebody young. Could I find anybody that looked actually appropriate, anything like Samuel? And the answer is no. So this is like some of us are in a foretaste of our latter years, okay? Well, so this is a foretaste of what Samuel's looking like, okay? So this is chapter 3. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli's, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. God called him again. Then we get to verse 8. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy, so Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in this place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as in the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said, "Speak, your servant is listening." This was Samuel's first encounter of hearing God. And at first he had no clue who it was. And the message that he listened to from God was pretty severe. If you're not sure about that, read it. But the truth is, he listened, he took it on board, and he was obedient. He was obedient to the point that he had to share bad news with Eli. heroes of faith encourage us to take small steps of faith. This is what Samuel was doing. He took steps of faith. What was his reputation? This is verse 19 of chapter 3. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. That was inspiration, God's blessing on Samuel. None of Samuel's words fell to the ground. In other words, they were all useful, because he'd learned to listen to what God was saying. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear to him in Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Samuel had learned to listen to God, and he persisted in listening and responding and sharing with those around him. The effect Samuel was having throughout the land was unbelievable. It was incredible, like none of the other priests that they'd had before. Samuel, by his obedience and his faith steps, was changing the atmosphere in Israel. This one man was making a huge difference. God's influence was blessing and spreading across the land because he was taking steps of faith. This is what we're called to do, isn't it? We're called to listen. We're called to respond. Whatever, wherever, we take God's presence with us. Whatever, wherever, we take God's presence with us. We change the atmosphere of wherever we are because we have God's presence. We change the atmosphere of wherever we are because we have God's presence on us. We have authority because we bring God's presence. And he wants us to take steps of faith. Samuel's ministry. This is just one story out of the whole story of Samuel's. Israel had been at war with the Philistines for many, many times. And at this point, the Philistines are camped near Israel. And they went into battle again, and the Israelites lost the battle. So they thought, well, what should we do? Why don't we take the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God, into battle with us? Surely we'll get victory then. The Philistines were quite worried about this, so they thought, right, we've got to really battle hard this time. And what happened? The Israelites lose the battle, and they lose the Ark of the Covenant, their special access to God. They lose that. Talk about having a rough time. That was, as a nation, was unreal. It was a double whammy. But God was on the case. So the Philistines actually brought it to a town, and it was their trophy. Except when God put his hand on it and people started having illness and tumors because they were looking after the Ark of Covenant. So they're going, oh, we're not having it. So they moved it to the town down the road. Guess what happened? So after a few of these occasions, the Philistines were getting a bit worried. They actually didn't like having this Ark of the Covenant, so they thought, well, let's give it back. So they did. And the Israelites were overjoyed at having this thing back. But they'd been a bit too candid about it. And suddenly, God was actually challenging them. So even the Israelites now became frightened because they got the Ark of Covenant back, but actually there was such a presence on it that was causing all sorts of issues. So what they do, let's send it up to the countryside. And the Israelites thought God had abandoned them. Then we get to chapter 7, verse 3. So Samuel said to all the Israelites, if you are returning to the Lord with all your hearts, rid yourself of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and their Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. Jump to verse 10. Just as Samuel was sacrificing their burnt offering after he'd been preaching to them, the Philistines arrived to attack Israel. But the Lord spoke with a mighty voice of thunder from heaven that day, and the Philistines were thrown into such confusion that the Israelites defeated them. Samuel's spiritual leading brought the people of God back to him. That was Samuel's blessing and encouragement and leading to actually bring this nation back to the Father God that cared for them. And they recognized that Samuel was the link. He was the one that made the difference. And as Samuel took steps of faith, they realized that's the faith steps that they should be making as well. And as Samuel takes steps of faith in his life with God, that's what we should be doing, taking steps of faith in life of God. So, chapter 8, when Samuel grew old, he appointed his sons as Israel's leaders. The first was Joel, and the name of his second was Abijah. And they served at Beersheba. And his sons did not follow his ways, Samuel's ways. They turned aside after dishonest gain and accepted bribes and perverted justice. So all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. They said to him, you are old and your sons do not follow your ways. Appoint us a king to lead us, such as all the other nations have. Samuel had been an amazing leader for them, but his sons hadn't caught the vision. They didn't believe in Father God in the same way as Samuel. And unfortunately, this is where Samuel wasn't a good witness, because he didn't discipline his sons. He didn't actually chastise them because they were stealing and treating people very badly. And as we looked at some of our other heroes already, our heroes aren't perfect, are they? Which is kind of like us. Well, it's kind of like me. But Samuel is the key. In verse 6 it said, and when they said, give us a king to lead us, this displeased Samuel. So he prayed to the Lord, and the Lord told him, listen to all that the people are saying to you. It is not you that they have rejected, but they have rejected me as their king. As they have done from the day I brought them out of Egypt until this day, forsaking me and serving other gods. So they are doing to you the same. Now listen to them, but warn them solemnly and tell them and let them know what the king will reign over them will claim as his rights. Samuel was very troubled and concerned that they wanted a king, because he really encouraged them to come back to Father as king. And he was really anxious of why this was happening. And obviously he led them through his lifetime. They actually wanted a human king, somebody they could see, somebody they could grab hold of, somebody they could respect, and they were struggling with the idea of God being king. So God said to them, honor their request, but tell them what could or would happen when you have a king looking after you. So Samuel was obedient. He listened and put that into place. He took another step of faith. And he anoints Saul. This is the story. And there's a wealthy, influential man named Kish from the tribe of Benjamin. And he was the son of all these guys. Of the tribe of Benjamin. His son, Saul, was the most handsome man in Israel. Head and shoulders taller than anyone else in the land. You can imagine just what the Israelites were looking for. This was the man. He's a big man. He looked pretty. They probably didn't use that phrase. But you can see him. He's the one that would be on the picture on the front of the magazines. This is the guy we want. Verse 27. When they reached the edge of the town, Samuel told Saul to send his servant on ahead. After the servant was gone, Samuel said, stay here, for I have received a special message for you from God. Then on chapter 10, then Samuel took a flask of olive oil and poured it over Saul's head. He kissed Saul and said, I am doing this because the Lord has anointed you to be the ruler over Israel, his special possession. God had led Samuel to find Saul and anoint him. Then Samuel did the other side of the story as well. He brought the people and encouraged them that this was God's man. And God put his blessing on Saul. And the blessing was so evident on Saul that people were more or less saying, wow, look at the difference in Saul. It's incredible. Is this the same guy? That was the story. But God's blessing was on Saul, and he was extremely successful at the beginning of his reign. But he was still human. And his mistake was he stopped trusting God. He believed that he was the man of the moment. And in his arrogance, he actually lost his way, which brought displeasure and sadness upon Father God. You could imagine this also brought displeasure and upset to Saul, Samuel. Because Samuel had anointed him to be king to change the nation. So I'm just going to finish this morning talking about David and how he was anointed. Now the Lord said to Samuel, you have mourned long enough for Saul. You can understand that, can't you? He's a troubled man. This is a man who has led the nation for years and years, brought the people back to God, and he was told to anoint this new leader who started off great but fouled up. And you can imagine Samuel being upset about that. You have mourned long enough for Saul. God says, I have rejected him as king of Israel. So fill your flask of olive oil and go to Bethlehem. Find a man named Jesse who lives there, for I have selected one of his sons to be the king. So chapter 16, verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, as he brought out these different sons, don't judge by their appearance, his appearance by his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things in the way you see them. What a sentence. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. Isn't that the truth? Isn't that what we've been talking about this morning? That when situations change, the Lord sees things differently. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at their heart. Thank God. Chapter 16, verse 11. After he looked and seen all the other sons, then Samuel asked, are these all the sons you have? Well, there's still the youngest, Jesse replied. But he's out in the fields watching the sheep and the goats. Send for him at once, Samuel said, and we will sit down to eat. We won't sit down until... we will sit down to eat until he arrives. So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. What an interesting thing to actually put in the strut. He's got beautiful eyes. Hey. It's probably a women thing, isn't it? You know, not a man thing, is it? Okay. Okay, the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. So as David stood there among his brothers, the youngest, remember, Samuel took his flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. So as soon as he was anointed, the Spirit of the Lord came on David. So he already had the attributes that God was looking for, and then God blessed him. In the same way he'd done with Saul, but David was honest to Father God. Samuel had changed the future of Israel by his faithfulness and his obedience. He listened and responded. He was obedient, took steps of faith. Heroes of faith encourage us to take steps of faith. That's what we need to learn, isn't it? To take steps of faith. One of God's last duties for Samuel was to instruct Samuel to anoint David as king. And David was king for many years. He was the king who's recognized as the King of Kings for Israel. He changed their history. He was one of their heroes. Samuel planted and encouraged David to be their new leader. And he would be king. But he was king in waiting for many years before he was actually king. And under King David, Israel became great. It was the nation of nations. So let's remember, Samuel started with the simple and straightforward. He learned to listen to God and to respond to Father God, taking steps of faith. It's exactly the same for us, isn't it? Listening, learning, taking steps of faith. The more we learn, the more we listen, the more we obey what God is saying to us, the more we are going to find our lives changed. Let's say that again. The more we learn to listen and obey God, the more we will find God changing our lives and change the lives of those around us. And change the lives of those around us. Why? Because we have God's presence. because we have God's presence. We are taking steps of faith. And it might have been a week where we only take a small step. It might have been a week where we take a big step. Does God look at us in any different way? No. What he wants us to do is to take a small step or a large step. Because as we take steps, he can build and encourage and strengthen our faith to be all that we are supposed to be. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that you encourage and bless us, that you are by our sides all the time, and that you gave everything you had on that cross to make us new, to bring us into a place where we can take steps of faith, that we can be obedient to you, Father God, where we can make a difference. And whether it's a week of big steps or it's a week of small steps, Lord, next week will be different. And Lord, we just pray that we understand how close you are to us, that you indwell in us, that you encourage and build us, because we as ordinary people can do amazing things in your name, Father God. Help us to take those steps of faith, be encouraged and blessed in all that you're saying and doing in us. Thank you, Father God. Amen.